say all sorts of things going on in this world, and shootings and things. I'm sure there'll be things coming out that it wasn't real, or then it was just a crazed lunatic guy, and then there'll be conspiracy theories.
I'm not laughing now.
Okay. So there'll be all sorts of things coming out, so be prepared. So, you know, and we've got words today with cancer and things happening, and, you know, bad things happen in this world, but we need to just remember God's on the throne. God's still in control of everything. You know, he allows things to happen, maybe for reasons we don't quite understand, but he's still on the throne, and he's still there for us. And it must have been a psalm kind of day. I usually don't go to psalms because it's not my favorite book. I'm not a poetry type person, but we're going to Psalms 103 today, and we had psalms in Sunday school, which kind of leads right in. And so we need to remember, just, you know, no matter what, to praise God, just to praise him for what he does, praise his holy name. And there's, remember the benefits, you know, there is to having God in your life, the benefits to your soul. And a lot of this at the end talks to fear the Lord, those that fear the Lord, those that reverence him, those that love him, those that have a relationship with him. So we're going to read the whole thing. It's a little bit long, but a lot of it all ties back into the first six verses. So there's 22 verses. We're going to read it. It's Psalm 103. It says, "Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion? Who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we were formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul." Other than fear the Lord, you know, it starts out with, forget not the benefits. Praise the Lord. Put him first. Forget not the benefits. And I just want to go through some of them that was in this section, and expounds on it later in the verses. But, you know, one of the first ones he talks about is forgiveness. You know, forgiveness, you know, it's a promise. It's a promise of God. It's also a command for us. It's what God does through Christ. It says, as far as the east is from the west, he's removed our transgressions. We all know north and south have limits. You can only go north so far before you start going south. Going east and west is infinite. You never run out. We can never reach them again. That's how far he's cast our sins from us. Goes on to say, as high as the heavens are above the earth. You know, science keeps finding new stars and new galaxies, and you know, but they haven't found the end of the universe yet. You know, every discovery just expands it further and further and further. It's never ending. And we won't find those transgressions again. That's how far God's who. It's infinitely away from us. We can't give them. As far as forgiveness goes, you know, we need to give what we receive. You know, he forgives us as we forgive those. So we have to give as we get. But his transgressions, we're forgiven. If we fear the Lord, if we praise the Lord, if we have him in our life, those sins are no more. He goes on redemption. Says, what are we redeemed from? Says, we're redeemed from the pit. You know, we were already scheduled for hell the minute we were born. That was our scheduled destination. But we're redeemed by the blood of Christ. You know, Jesus went to the cross. He shed his blood for us to save us, to redeem us from that eternity to a new eternity. But redemption requires a price to be paid. You know, Ralph likes Corvettes, as many do. They're expensive, aren't they? Cost a lot of money. Some people like a big house. It's nice to have the big house, the pool, the tennis courts, you know. I don't know who needs 17 bathrooms, but they don't clean them themselves, I'll bet. But anyways, they're expensive. They cost a lot of money. You know, diamonds, diamond rings, earrings, jewelry. Some of them cost a lot of money. Why? Because they have a tremendous value associated with them. They have a value. To purchase one costs a lot. So the price paid shows the value of the object being purchased. Now these are just monetary examples, but what price did Jesus pay for us? Now what does it say about how much he values you? You know, you're worth everything to him because he gave it all. He gave himself. You know, how much are those around you worth? How much are people around you worth? Your friends, your family, people you don't even know. How much are they worth? What price are you willing to pay for others to bring them to Christ, to share what you know? Then is Christ worth more to you than anything else? Is he number one? Is he the best value? Is he would he be put, if you had all your money to put on something, would he be it? You put your whole life on him. Redemption is a cost involved. There's a value. He valued you so much he gave himself. It goes on and says he heals all your diseases. You know, he's able to heal all diseases. You know, and although he may not heal every person from physical illness, you know, we see that in life. Every person that gets sick does not get healed. But we should note that all healing is from God. Whether God or body, you know, it's from God or from medicine. You know, our bodies are made pretty well. They withstand a lot of stuff, a lot of viruses, a lot of bacteria, broken bones. You know, broken bones even mend back stronger than they were. They heal back better. Our bodies are pretty specialized things and pretty strong. But sometimes our bodies get to the point they can't fend something off. You know, this our bodies have degraded to the point where things are causing us problems. And I think mature Christians know that God heals in different ways. You know, we tend to think of the physical healing only, but God heals in different ways. Sometimes it's physical healing. Sometimes there's healing is held back. And I think it's held back to teach. God's trying to teach us something. It's held back to train us in something. Sometimes healing's held back to test. And sometimes healing's held back to create a testimony in our lives. And I think that's what you're going to get next week. feelings held back because Seth has a testimony to give. And you can see how he gives it. He still has joy. He didn't lose that. Sometimes that's the test of the testimony in our lives. Is how are we handling that illness that we have? How are we handling that illness maybe someone else in our family has? And sometimes healing just takes place by taking that person home to be with him. But he heals. Matthew 15, 17 through 20. Says, don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person, but eating with unwashed hands does not defile them. You know, all can be healed. Everybody can be healed from the worst disease of all. And that's the disease of sin. If we look at sin as a disease, we've all got it. But we can all be healed from it. You know, God can, and he desires to heal everyone from that disease. We just have to accept the healing. We have to accept the Holy Spirit in our life. You know, the moment he enters, the healing starts taking place. There starts to be a change. It's a spiritual change. You know, sin's being removed. Sin nature's being combated by the best vaccine you can get. You know, if you're going to get a jab, take that one. You know, get that vaccine. Get the Holy Spirit vaccine. You know, the blood of Christ can be the transfusion. You know, the blood of Christ gives you eternal life. You know, it creates a new you. It fixes you. It heals you. You're healed from the thing that you were born with. Goes to love and compassion. Another one of the benefits. Love and compassion. Says, you know, you see it each day. You know, if you truly look, even on the bad days, you're going to find his love and compassion in your life. If you just look around and just think about it, don't let the worldly things get you down so much. Just think of the good things that he's done. You know, he loves us so much, he gave his son for us. He loves us and has compassion just as a father does. He provides for us. He cares for us. You know, I haven't gone too many meals without. You know, I get what I need to eat. I got a bed to sleep in. I got a place to live. I got a vehicle to take me where I want to go. You know, I've got family, kids, grandkids. You know, everybody doesn't have those things. So just look around when you feel a little down, what you do have, what he has done for you, what he has provided. And we're going to fail. We're going to fail him. It always goes back to you're going to be afraid of disappointing God. Well, you will. But then it goes back, well, can you? Well, because he already knows what you're going to do. He's not surprised. You know, we can't surprise God by disappointing him. He already knows what we're going to do. You know, he knows how frail, he knows how weak we are. You know, after all, as it says, we're just dust. We came from dust, we're going back to dust. It says we have a time here. It says we grow, we bloom, we flourish, and then we're gone. So we have a time on this earth to do what he wants us to do. You know, but what we truly leave behind is how we've lived for him. Those who fear him, those who truly know him, those who are obedient to his covenant, those who are obedient to his calling, when he calls you to do something. He says if we're obedient, you know, it's passed down. His righteousness will be with our children's children. That's what we leave behind. If you want a legacy, and that's become one of the worst words for me. Other people like legacy. I'm not real fond of it. It tends to be associated with the person. But if you want a legacy, let it be that. Let it be a life lived for Christ that's passed on to others. That his love is everlasting. You know, that part doesn't end with this life. You know, there's love, hope, joy, faith. Faith will end. Hope will end because we will be there with Him. We won't need faith. We won't need hope anymore. But love continues forever. Love will always be there. The other things will fall away because we will be in existence with Him. Love's the one thing that continues forever. We're going to have an invitation in a minute. The last section that I want to talk about is He satisfies us with good things and renews us like eagles. Matthew 5:6 says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." And Psalm 107:8-9 says, "Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for mankind. For He satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things." You know, we all like to be satisfied. You know, Snickers satisfies, right? Snickers satisfies. I like Snickers. It satisfies me for a while. Cheesecake's very satisfying to me. I'd like cheesecake until I want more. Sweet tea satisfying until I want more. Although I will say when it's really hot, like it was yesterday, a cold glass of water satisfies just as well. But God wants to give us good things. You know, as a father, He wants to give us good things. You know, we need to be filled with what is good. We need to be filled with His righteousness. You know, we need to have a hunger and thirst for His righteousness. You know, and He can satisfy those cravings we have through His Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. You know, and He says He renews us. It says He renews us back to our youth, but He renews us day by day, it also says. But He compares it to eagles. You know, eagles are large, they're strong, and they live quite a long life based on birds, at least in the wild. They live 14 to maybe 35 years in the wild, and in captivity, they can live even longer, which is a little bit unusual. Usually captivity, they're shorter, but eagles can live longer in captivity. So captivity, when they say be a slave for Christ, that's not a bad thing. If you want to be in captivity, be a slave for Christ. He'll take care of you. They also molt feathers as they grow. You know, they change, they grow, they lose feathers, and they grow new ones. They change, they renew themselves to grow, to fly better, to have more energy, and to look more attractive. And God wants us to be all of these examples for Him. You know, do we have the hunger? Do we have the thirst that we need to have for Him? You know, He wants to be renewed to us, that we're renewed through His Word, through His Holy Spirit. You know, we need to fly better. We need to grow stronger. We need to have more energy. And if we're really where we need to be in Him, what we exude will be more attractive to others as well. They'll see something. You've got something. They'll see that. It's something that's attractive to them, hopefully, that they'll want, and we can share with them. So we just need to praise God for all the things that He's done. You know, through this time, you know, the stuff going on in the world, the shootings and all of this, you know, just keep in mind, praise God for all the things that He's done and is doing for each and every one of us. You know, He's there. He's there all the time. He's on the throne. He's in charge. People here are not in charge. They think they are, but they're not. God is controlling everything. He allows certain things to happen. But ultimately, He's in charge of all this. So just remember that every day, to praise Him, to pray for those, just to, you know, as it goes back, forget not the benefits of having the Lord in your life. Forget not the benefits of praising the Lord. Those that fear the Lord will be with Him. He'll give you all these things. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you. It says the benefits in your word, the benefits that this psalm had, Lord. But it's the benefits of having you in our life, the forgiveness. Our sins are as far as the east is from the west. They're gone. They're away from us. It's total forgiveness. You've redeemed us. You paid the price because you value us at such a high price that you gave yourself, that you provide everything we need, Father, that you provide love and the compassion, and you just want to give us good things like a father does. Lord, we just praise you, Lord, throughout the tumultuous times that come upon us, that that are around us, Lord, those that fall into trouble, or maybe we have sickness, Lord, we just pray that the healing that you have in store for us takes place. We just pray for that. We just pray we would be healed in the way that you know is best for us. And Lord, when we have those times, when we are attacked, Lord, we pray our attitudes are in line with yours, that as Seth does, even in pain and struggling, Lord, he has a joy. We pray that we have that as well. Father, help us in that. Lord, when we get down, just help to lift us up. Let us depend on you. Let us turn to you. And Lord, we just praise you for all the things you do, that you're there. We know you're in charge. We know you're still the ruler. And we just praise you. We lift you up, and we pray that all the things that we do and say away from this place do the same, and that you're glorified. Lord, we just thank you. We give you the praise and ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.